If you look at Romans 8 and 28, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Some of them are probably thinking, what's he doing up there? Well, I'm with them. I don't know what. I just felt the Lord led me to get up and speak on this verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We'll read it one more time. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But perhaps we could phrase it, we know that all things work together for good, that God works all things together for good to them that love Him, them that are the called according to His purpose. Now this is one of those verses that all believers know. We learn it early on as believers. And sometimes when we get to know a verse, it becomes too familiar. And perhaps we use it as a blank check. We think we can just fill it out and God will rubber stamp it. But you know, it isn't that way in the Christian life, and I'm sure God doesn't mean for us to use that verse that way. You know, we'll meet somebody who's not feeling well, perhaps they have some bad disease, and we'll quote this verse to them, and it's a good verse, and it means exactly what it says. But perhaps it becomes kind of glib to us, and we just quote it without really thinking about what we're saying. And I don't think God ever meant for us to do that. So perhaps we could open by asking ourselves a couple of questions about this verse. First of all, who are them that love God? Who are them that love God? And who are the called according to His purpose? And perhaps we could answer those questions using the scriptures. And it will give us a better idea of what God expects from us. You know, over in John chapter 14, three times, in verses 15, 21, and 23, the Lord Jesus says a similar thing. He says, He that loves me keeps my commandments. He says, if ye love me, you will keep my commandments. He who keeps my word is him that loves me. So that's pretty clear, isn't it? That if we claim to love God, then we should be keeping His commandments. Now, what are His commandments for today? Well, you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And before going there, I'd like to quote Galatians 6 and 10. It says, do good unto all men, but especially to them that are of the household of faith. So God does put the believer first. Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 5, please. And see how the Lord Jesus deals with these issues. So you can't go to a better person than the Lord when you want to find out something. I always remember my first Toronto conference. A man that would be known by the older brethren here, Mr. Robert McClurkin, opened the Bible reading. And it was on Matthew 24 and 25. And he says, in prophecy, first thing you do is go to the Lord. And then you go to where the Lord sends you. And I've never forgotten that. And that's 30 years ago. And so, if you go to the Lord, you'll never go far wrong. Now, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23, first to the believer, the Lord says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother had aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now how would we apply that today? Bringing our gift to the altar. Well, 1 Peter 2 and 5 tells us we're a holy priesthood. to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God, even the praise of our lips. So when we come together on the Lord's Day for the breaking of bread, and we worship the Lord, that's we're offering up the praise of our lips to our Lord. But he's saying, if you remember that your brother has anything against you, that you've done anything to offend the brother, he says, go and be reconciled to thy brother first. And you know, that's important. Can we gather to remember the Lord on the Lord's Day morning, knowing there is something between us and another believer, whether a brother or a sister? You know, God will deal with that kind of a thing. I know a situation, I'm not going to mention any names, in a family where there was three in that family, a Christian home, two were saved and one was not saved. And the two that were saved were in fellowship and they hadn't talked to each other for 20 years. And yet every Sunday morning they were there. And they had an unsaved sister who came to all the gospel meetings. But she didn't think she needed to be saved because of she saw this kind of a thing going on. Well, the Lord dealt with it. The Lord has to deal with these things. He can't let it go on. And he took away one of the sisters. And those two were reconciled together before the one passed on. And thankfully, the other one was saved before leaving this life. A year or two before. But it's so important that if we come together to remember the Lord, that there would be nothing between us and another believer. We can't allow things like that to go on. It becomes bigger and bigger as time goes on. What becomes small becomes great. You know, the Lord expects us to do this. I remember about probably 10 years ago, we had a French preacher at Rexdale. And I was brought up, I'm half French, and I like the French accent, the French language. So I was talking to his wife, and I made a comment. I said, I love your husband's accent, it sounds funny. And the Lord convicted me of that right away. But I didn't do anything about it. I kind of just let it go. But the Lord wouldn't let me go on that. I had to acknowledge to the Lord that I had done wrong, and I had to correct it. Well, I didn't see that couple for another 3 years. But when I saw them again, I had to go to the wife and tell her about that. And she said she didn't even remember it. But she said she was glad that I told her about it. And the Lord expected me, whether it could have done some harm. It didn't that time, but it could have. So we can't allow these things to go on. Now next, we'll deal with the world. So you know, an acknowledgement of a wrong to a brother and sister is important. It's not an easy thing to do sometimes. We think, well, what are they going to think about us? Well, it's only pride that thinks that way. And you know, it's only the flesh that doesn't like it. And since we're to do away with the flesh, then we should do these things. We should deal with them. Now in verse 44, he deals with the unbeliever. Now this is a tremendous section of scripture, the Sermon on the Mount. You know, at the end of this chapter, the writer says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that doesn't mean sinless perfection, but it means maturing as a believer and becoming more like the Lord. And how does that happen? By living out what comes before it. And this will be the result. The Lord uses it to work us, to work in us and to change us. And you know, our brother was speaking this afternoon of vessels fit for the Master's use. Well, that's how we become fit for the Master's use. If we allow Him to change us. You know, we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory to glory into His image. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord, with open face, receptive, submitting ourselves to the Word of God, being willing to bow to it, and the Spirit then can do His work. So in verse 44, we'll start at verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now that's not easy, is it? That doesn't come natural. That's contrary to everything that we are in the flesh. You know, when we get saved, we don't just overnight change, but it takes time. And this is how it takes time. That's why the Lord leaves us in the world. We go to work. We're hearing this afternoon. Some go to school. Some of us work, and we work with ungodly people. And we're going to run into problems. It doesn't matter who we are or where we work. When you're with the unsaved, you'll run into trouble. But God says to love these people. Well, how do you love people that are ungodly and unlovely and sometimes just nasty? It's not an emotional thing. It's not this mush romantic love that he's talking about. Have an affection for somebody. The love of God is the most practical thing in Scripture. It's the most practical thing in this world. It's doing good to these people. Anytime we have an opportunity to do good. And I remember the first time I really noticed this verse. I was on my way to work. I'd been working there a year or so. And I was reading this and meditating on it, and I agreed with the Lord on it. You know, when you're in the Spirit, you agree with anything. But you realize the Lord doesn't just show you this and then leave you to yourself. He has to put you through the practice. And this is what makes it real and makes Him real. And 2 days after I got hired at that job, they hired a man whose whole purpose in life seemed to be making people's lives miserable. He just went out of his way. And when you're a believer, you're a particular target. Well, I had agreed with the Lord, so the next day, that man comes into my department where I'm working, and I needed a hand with something, and I said to him, could you please give me a hand? He said, no way, it's not my job. Well, you know what the first thought came to my mind? Boy, wait till you ask me for a hand. And the Lord says, oh, remember yesterday? I said, no, Lord, please, not him. Maybe the next person, not that one. I really didn't want to help the man. It went contrary to everything I wanted to do. But the Lord wouldn't let me off the hook. And, you know, he teaches you that way. He won't let you off the hook. And so, grudgingly, I did it. I didn't want to, but when I saw him needing a hand, I went and helped him and left. I wouldn't say nothing. And gradually, the grudging went away. And, you know, I saw that man in my department more often in the next couple of months than I'd seen him in a year. And I just helped him and helped him. And it became natural. The Lord was changing me. And I didn't have to do it grudgingly. It's amazing the way the Lord does this. But not only did it affect me, but it affected this man. Because I remember one day, I'm getting off a freight elevator with a 45-gallon drum on a drum truck, and he said to me, he said, would you like me to close the gate for you? I misunderstood. I thought he told me to close the gate, and I wasn't in the spirit that day because I said, mind your business, you're not my boss. I tell you. And he said, well, we are well. It's just common courtesy. Then I realized what he had said. And so, oh boy, I really did it this time. So, but I went to him and I apologized, and he said, we all make mistakes. Well, a few months before, he wouldn't have said that. So it's a wonderful thing to see, you know, that the Lord works in me and in other people at the same time. And you know, this is how we become vessels fit for the Master's use. You know, the Lord's not interested in what I can do for Him, because I can't do nothing for God. He's interested in changing me so that He can work through me and affect others. And I tell you, it's a tremendous thing, isn't it? And I'll get down in about 2 minutes. I'll just ask one more question. What is his purpose? And we get it in the very next verse, don't we? That we've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Isn't that tremendous? He took me, a 34-year-old sinner, running away from him all that time, and he saved me, and he's changing me to be like his Son. And I've got a home waiting for me in heaven. I tell you, we got the best of both worlds. And we can never lose it. Don't let the devil get us down and discouraged. You know, Christians get depressed. I realize that. Maybe they shouldn't. One believer told me one day, a Christian should never get depressed. Well, that may be so, but they do anyway. And so you have to deal with situations as they are, not the way they should be. We live in a world where we've got a lot of enemies. Satan is an enemy, and he's a master at deceiving believers as well as unbelievers. He's been at it a long time. But we have a Lord, and we're singing about him today. What a friend we have in Jesus. And so we can go to him at any time. So may the Lord help these few thoughts help us to realize what God is doing with us in this world and why he's left us here. That we might bring honor and glory to his name because of all he's done for us.